May the Lord help us to commence tonight with hymn 1085. Hence vain intruding world depart, no more allure nor vex my heart. Let every vanity be gone, I would be peaceful and alone. 1085.
Thank you. Let us read together from God's holy word, the epistle of Paul to the Romans, chapter 8. The epistle to the Romans, chapter 8. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in it it was weak through the flesh. God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who hath subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, Even we ourselves, grown within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. For we are saved by hope. But hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. Likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. What shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. May God bless the reading of his holy word and teach us how to pray. O thou most almighty and holy Lord God in heaven, we bow in thy house this night, seeking a spirit of true prayer. O Lord, do come, we pray this night, and take our poor worship and prayers, and perfume them with the merits of thy beloved Son. O Lord, that thou wouldst come and be one in our midst. O, could it please thee that there are one and another here gathered this night with that desire, sir, we would see Jesus. O Lord, make their happiness complete. May we see no man save Jesus only this evening. May we see him by faith. May we see him in his glorious offices. May we see him in all his glory and his majesty. Oh, but may we be given a view of the beloved Son of God as a lamb without spot and without blemish, the Passover lamb for his dear people, that sin offering. Oh, may it be our portion this evening to be partakers, to be sheltering under, beneath that precious blood. Oh, Lord, do work in our hearts. We're sinful creatures. We've nothing good to bring. We cannot put ourselves in the Spirit, though we try. We cannot, Lord, push our thoughts heavenwards, though we try. Oh, but Lord, thou canst do all things. For if God be for us, who can be against us? And what shall separate us from the love of God? Lord, our sinful hearts, may it not be a barrier. Oh, come over the mountains, we pray. Come right where we are. Thou knowest we've nothing good. Thou knowest, Lord, we cannot promise any good to bring. Thou knowest, Lord, the desires of our hearts. Thou seest us as no man sees us. Oh, Lord, then come, we pray. Dispel the darkness. Lift the clouds, Lord, we pray. May the glorious light of the gospel shine forth this night into many sinners' hearts. And may there be that warming, the Sun of Righteousness arising with healing in his wings. May many be enabled by faith to look up unto him and live. May a precious Christ be lifted up on that gospel pole. And Lord, draw us unto thee. Draw me, we will run after thee. And Lord, we pray for that quickening spirit to quicken our dead hearts, to Lord, pour in that living water into our dry bones, to breathe into those dry bones. And Lord, bring thy spirit into us, Lord, we pray. Flood our hearts with the love of Christ. May Christ be found dwelling in our hearts by faith. And Lord, may we give thee the honour and the glory to thy name. May we not be left slack in these things, slow in coming forward, but may we make mention of the loving kindnesses of the Lord. For Lord, how little praise thou art given, how little thanks is offered up unto thee, when we consider how many, many mercies thou dost grant us. We're favoured to be found in thy house. We're favoured, Lord, with thy word. We meet unmolested from the world. We gather round thy word. We have, Lord, the throne of grace. Oh, what mercies we daily prove to have. We have, Lord, much to mourn over. Lord, we've much to thank thee for. We pray then that thou wouldst come. Give us a truly thankful spirit. Give us true repentance. And Lord, be with those who have come this night with a burden. May they see it rolling away at the foot of thy cross. Be with those, Lord, who have come with perplexing circumstances. Those, Lord, with long drawn out trials and afflictions. Lord, may their burdens be lifted. Lord, if it's thy will that they must endure to the end of their days, may they know those everlasting arms, bearing them and carrying them to the end of their days. Lord, we do pray for those with hard cases. seemingly impossible matters in their way, burdens of loved ones, burdens of children, and oh, many things, Lord, many hard cases. May we leave all at thy feet. May we be granted, Lord, that true wrestling prayer, that there may be a laying hold of thee. May we not let thee go, except thou bless us and hear our prayers and answer. May we be ever smiting our arrows on the ground, not staying our hand until thou dost appear. Lord, keep us, we pray, calling on thee. May Satan not discourage. We pray, Lord, for thy appearing, that thou wilt give us patience in our circumstances, that we may wait patiently for thy appearing, to watch and to pray, and to pray and to watch, and Lord, help us to endure. May we be helped to run the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus. Oh, that our eyes may be opened. May there be an opening of blind eyes this evening, a touching of hearts, thy word meeting cases. May there be some Ruths here who have come gleaning, some Lydias whose hearts the Lord has opened. May there be, Lord, many coming, seeking a portion. We pray, Lord, that there may be those come with expectation, praying, desiring in faith that thou wilt appear for them. Lord, meet their every need. Send none disappointed away this night. Send none empty away. Pour out, Lord, we pray, into our poor hearts. Prepare our hearts, Lord, to receive thy word. Give us ears that are open, at the understanding heart. And Lord, keep Satan from us. How often he seeks to take away and to spoil us, Lord, and spoil our hours in thy house. But may he be shut out from this place. Shut us in with thee and do us good. Lord, we pray for these things. We seek the honour and glory of our Almighty God. We seek, Lord, thy blessing upon each here, and those unable to be here. We would remember those in old age and long drawn out affliction, those, Lord, unable to be here through ill health. We would remember them where they are and pray that thou be with them. And Lord, we do pray for those who are not here and don't want to be. Lord, how solemn. Lord, there are some who have gathered in thy houses up and down our land and yet now seem to be in a far off country. May thy word, Lord, be used in their hearts that they've heard in previous days. May it spring up, Lord, to eternal life. We would continue to remember the prodigals. O Lord, and what glory to thy name. For those returning prodigals shall find that though their base, their father's kind. Oh, then do come. Get to thee, to thy holy name, the honour and glory. We humbly pray. We ask, Lord, that thou be with the dear friends who gather here week by week. Help them in the unknown way. We thank thee for this cause of truth. Remember them, Lord, we pray. And bring in, Lord, one and another. Fill this place with praying, seeking, longing souls. And Lord, have mercy upon this neighbourhood. May there be a purpose of love to those in this neighbourhood. We would remember them, Lord, and ask thy will in all these things. Could it please thee to pour out thy Holy Spirit
And we think of all thy causes of truth up and down our land and throughout the world, where thy people meet, Lord, remember them each. Remember them for good. Be with those in persecution. We think of those in foreign lands, some in such trying circumstances, some persecuted even unto death. Oh, how can they stand, Lord, unless thou art with them? Hold them fast, Lord, we pray. Be with them in a special way, in those hours of need, when the wicked one seems to come in like a flood. Lord, may there be that standard lifted up. May they feel thy presence and thy power. We pray that we may be kept from being ashamed of thee. If we're called, Lord, to stand before a wicked world, Lord, may we be kept. We dread bringing reproach on thy name. We do pray, Lord, that we may be not ashamed of thee. Oh, we do thank thee for all thy mercy. Lord, do pour into this poor sinner in the pulpit, that the poor hearers may hear some good things this night. There may be some, Lord, good seed, we humbly pray, that there may be an eternal purpose in all these arrangements, and that thy name may be glorified. There may be some good things done in the name of the Holy Child Jesus. We ask all, seeking the pardon and the forgiveness of our many, many sins. We're not worthy, Lord, to even approach unto thee. But we pray that thou look upon us through thy beloved Son. May all that we ask and all we do be clothed with his righteousness. May we be accepted in the beloved, as we pray in his name alone. Amen.
Hymn 1077. Dearest Lord, what must I do? Only thou the way canst show. Thou canst save me in this hour. I have neither will nor power. 1077.
Will you turn with me this evening to the first epistle of Paul to the Thessalonians, chapter 5, and with the Lord's help I'll speak to you from verse 24. The first epistle to the Thessalonians, chapter 5, verse 24. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. Paul's epistle to the first epistle to the Thessalonians, chapter 5, verse 24. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. An old minister came up to me outside a chapel and said to me, "So what is your calling?" And I was puzzled by his question. And then he said, "Your father was a builder, was a carpenter. What's your calling?" And what he meant was, what was my secular calling? What was my employment? And it was an old-fashioned expression used in days gone by, where people were called. They felt called to take up an occupation, a profession, whether it be an apprenticeship or study at university. They felt called to it. And thinking on this word here, to begin with, really, are we being called? Has the Lord called us? Do we feel, as we're journeying through our lives, that we are walking in our employment, in our day-to-day lives? Is it a calling? Have we ever laid these things before Almighty God? Especially you younger the children and younger people, there's many decisions to be made. There's plenty to offer you advice, plenty of advice from career officers, etc. But you know, the best person to go to is Almighty God. You've decisions to make. There's exam choices. There's subjects to take and some to drop. There's schools to go to. There's college, university, maybe an apprenticeship. But are you seeking to lay it all at the Lord's feet? What wilt thou have me to do? Lord, I know not what's best for me. How often we think we know what's best. How often there are those who think they know what's right for them in their lives, and they make decisions, make choices. But the Lord has other plans, and the Lord will have the victory. And why they have to be bent? Their will has to be bent to His, doesn't it? But what an encouragement to you young children. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in Him, and He will bring it to pass. Commit all thy way. You've decisions to make. Commit them all into His hand. You say, well, is it right? These aren't anything spiritual. Commit it all into His hand. He knows what's right for you. How often we're led down the wrong path by following our own wisdom, so-called wisdom. Oh, to commit it all into His hand. So in our decisions, in our choices we have to make, partners in life, again, young people, who to settle down with? Oh, these decisions. Are we able to make a right decision? Do we know what's right for us?
Oh, to be able to commit it all into his hands. Moses did, didn't he? Moses, he was called by the Lord to walk a pathway, wasn't he? To bring the children of Israel out of the promised land. And, you know, friends, what a burden to him. What a burden. He'd been wandering around in the backside of the desert, and then suddenly, one day, there's the burning bush, the Lord speaking to him from the bush, and a calling. The Lord had a purpose of him. The wilderness years were not wasted. There was a vital teaching in it for him. Oh, and you see, there was that day when the Lord spoke and called him. And how can he go? How can he go? He says, I can't speak. How can he venture forward? How can he take up this great command? How can he walk it out? He says, and Moses said unto the Lord, see, thou sayest unto me, bring up this people, and thou hast not let me know whom thou wilt send with me. Yet thou hast said, I know thee by name, and thou hast found grace in my sight. The Lord had spoken it, told him that he'd found grace in his sight. But he had a fearful heart. Now therefore, I pray thee, if I have found grace in thy sight, show me now thy way. Oh, we want the Lord to make clear, don't we, our path. We trust him to lead us the right way, but we wouldn't mind being shown a little. We don't like walking blind, do we? We don't like walking by faith and not by sight. That I may know that I found grace, and show me now thy way, that I may know thee, that I may find grace in thy sight, and consider this, that this nation is thy people. And he said, this is Almighty God speaking, and he said, my presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. And friends, maybe there's one here this evening who has been called, or feel that they're being called to walk a path. I had no intention really this afternoon of starting in this way, but maybe there is someone here who has a calling. They feel a calling, and it's not a spiritual calling. Maybe it's something in their lives other than what we'll go on to later. But it's this: you've come tonight, and your desire is, I'll walk, Lord, but I need thee with me. I'll go, but I must know that thou art with me. And you're like Moses here. If thy presence go not with me, carry me not up hence. If thy presence go not with me, carry us not up hence. But the Lord had already spoken before Moses said that. The Lord has said in verse 14, my presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. For wherein shall it be known here that I and thy people have found grace in thy sight? Is it not that thou goest with us? Oh, that we may know that the Lord is with us. That will do it, won't it? That will do it for you this evening. It may be a hard pathway. It may be one that you didn't think would come upon you. It may be one that you're shrinking from. It may be one that you had no intention ever of walking. You hadn't even crossed your mind you would ever be led in this way. But here you are, and you feel the Lord is calling you. And you're shrinking from it. But you're asking, oh Lord, help me. Help me to walk in thy way. Help me to walk in thy fear. I'll go. Oh, but only if thou art with me. You're not like Barak, who asked Deborah to go with him. He wanted Deborah the prophetess to go with him. But we want the Lord, don't we? You don't want to trust in a man. Oh, that we may know that the Lord is with us. And then,
and only then can you go. Well, beloved friends, he's faithful, as our text says. Faithful is he that calleth you. He's calling you, friend. He's faithful that's calling you. He will not leave thee, neither forsake thee. He doesn't call with his voice a poor sinner to follow him and leave him. Certainly I'll be with thee, he says. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. The certainty of it, the faithful and unchanging God, he cannot renege on a promise. He cannot lie. He cannot deny himself. He cannot deny his own work. And the clear work of an almighty God is his voice calling his people, calling them to walk in his commandments, calling them to follow him. We think, don't we, particularly at this time of year, of the birth of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, and we think really at the beginning of the Nativity, and how what a pathway Mary was called to walk, wasn't she? What a pathway that the Lord called her to walk, to be the bearer of the child Jesus. Oh, and how the angel speaking to her, making known, "Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favour with God." There was something coming up, wasn't there? Oh, have you been given a fear not? Have you come to chapel? The Lord has spoken to you, a fear not. Beloved friends, you're going to need it. You're going to need it. There's a fear not. Why? Why has the Lord said to you, fear not? Something's coming. There's a pathway to walk. You're going to be proving that fear not. You're going to be leaning on that fear not. You're going to be resting on it. And he'll try a word he gives you. He'll make you prove it. And it was, fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favour with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son and shalt call his name Jesus. Oh, but remember, poor Mary, she wasn't married. Oh, what would Joseph think? She was espoused to be his wife. And she's to be found with child. Think of it from a natural point of view. I mean, Joseph, he tried to push her away, didn't he? Until the Lord spoke to him. But, you know, there was shame with it, wasn't there? An unmarried, a maiden, unmarried, and yet here she is carrying child. You can imagine, can't you, her feelings. But there was a fear not she was given. Oh, to venture. And as the angel continues to speak with her, he tells Mary of her cousin Elizabeth, who's also conceived a son in her old age. She's a pathway to walk out, isn't she? An old woman carrying a child. For with God nothing shall be impossible. Mary said, "Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word." That takes something, doesn't it? Hey, you think of that. To in all that pathway she was called to walk, to have that spirit of submission. It's given by God, isn't it? It's beyond man's reach. And Mary said, "Behold, the handmaid of the Lord. Be it unto me according to thy word." Oh, may we be more often found in that spirit. As the Lord calls us to do this and to do that, may we be found willing in the day of his power, willing to take up our cross daily and follow him, willing to endure
to run the race that's set before us, willing to endure to the end, made willing in a day of his power, given submission, to know that what he wills is best, to rest in that assurance that he never makes a mistake. He's never made a mistake. Not one mistake, ever. Never, ever one mistake, and he never, ever will. Everything he accomplishes, everything he orders, precisely ordered. Everything. Every item of your life. You may think it's a mistake. You may think they're accidents. You may think that they're not right, their things are going wrong. Everything. Perfectly ordered. Perfectly designed. And perfect outworking of his wisdom and his will. Faithful is he that calleth you. So we read this evening Romans chapter 8. And what a lovely piece of scripture that is, isn't it? Isn't all of the word of God lovely? But oh, how it opens up at the beginning. There is therefore now no condemnation. And beloved friends, it's a faithful and almighty God who calls his children out of this world. And he's saying in his word that they're not condemned. There's no one who can condemn you this evening. Those sheltering beneath the precious blood of Christ, you may think that there's people who know something about you, but there's no condemnation. There's no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Oh, that we may walk not after the flesh. We may walk after the Spirit, as enabled by his Spirit. Faithful is he that calleth you. Faithful is he that calleth you. He's faithful to his word. Is he calling you? And we move on from providential things. Is the Lord calling you? Have you heard his voice? There's a voice that sounds out from the gospel. As the gospel is preached from this pulpit, as you read God's holy word, there's a calling, there's a voice coming out of this glorious gospel. And is it entering into your ears? You can't make yourself hear it. You can't open your own ears. You can't open your heart to receive the word. Oh, but we're told to inquire of the Lord, aren't we? Oh, Lord, give me an understanding heart. Lord, open thou mine eyes, that I may behold righteous things in thy law. Open my eyes. Open my ears. Unstop my ears. Keep Satan from drowning out with thoughts and temptations that the word from God. May our ears be attentive to his call. May we be like Samuel. May we hear his voice. Samuel heard the Lord calling him. He thought it was Eli, but oh, may we hear his voice. May our ears be open. And may we know that still small voice. There's many things in our lives that call us. The Lord is sovereign in all things. We're all different characters. We're all different cases before him. We're all varying in the way that we are by nature. And there's one common thing with all of us. By nature, we're dead. By nature, we're dead in trespasses and in sins. And we read in Romans, by nature, we're enmity with God. And by nature, we're all condemned under the law. And by nature, none of us can fulfill the law. And how can then these things be? How can a poor sinner who's condemned by the law, who cannot bring anything good, who cannot merit anything, who cannot earn it, how then can he be saved? Is there nothing he can do? Is there nothing that he can bring? Can he not attend chapel all his life? Can he not wet his couch with tears, as the hymn writer says? Can he not labour under the law? Can he not stop himself from going to places and stop himself sinning? You know, we're to walk according to the law. We can't sin at liberty. We must try and keep the law as best we can, but as best we try, why we fall far short. But beloved friends, what a mercy that there are those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life, that they're chosen. They're chosen, and we read it, didn't we? That they are predestinated, and for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And that's it, isn't it? That's it. Do you and do I? We don't know whether we're in the doctrine of election. We don't know whether we've been predestinated. But have you heard his call? Have you heard his voice? Is there a cry going into your heart from his word? Is he speaking to you? Is he? The hymn writer says, I ask my soul this question then, for here I would begin. Oh, do I feel a want of Christ to save me from my sin? He would have known two things. He was a sinner and he needed saving. He's a sinner and there's salvation in the precious blood of the Lamb. And beloved friends, have you heard that call? Are your sins a burden to you? Do you feel a weight of your sins? Do you look back at last week, the week before, maybe years of sinning, looking back at a misspent youth? And do you have much to mourn over? Oh, beloved friends, it's a mercy if you do. It's a mercy if you feel your sins. It's horrible to feel it. You can't describe it. Oh, it's wretched to feel your sins. It's not pleasant to feel you're a sinner. It's cutting. It hurts. It hurts your pride. It hurts you. It's not pleasant. It's not a pleasant work, but it's a vital work. And it begins with a sinner, a poor trembling sinner, feeling that he is a sinner. Not being told by a man in a pulpit that he's a sinner, but condemned through the word of God. Oh, you don't need a minister to separate the congregation this evening. The word of God, it separates, doesn't it? Doesn't the word of God separate us? You know, we're divided, aren't we? We're either with the Lord or we're against him. We either love him or we hate him. He either loves us or he hates us. There's no grey areas. There's no middle ground. A sinner may be in his experience and the outward working of it be in the middle ground. He may have left Egypt, but he's not in the promised land. Oh, he may not feel at home anymore in Egypt, but he doesn't feel at home with the people of God. Oh, but he's ever been one. If you've left Egypt, beloved friends, the Lord's called you out of Egypt. Oh, there's that glorious knowledge that you're called by a faithful and unchanging God. And he doesn't tease and tantalise his people. He doesn't make himself attractive to a sinner as a sinner's only plea and then walk away and leave him. He doesn't throw a sinner into the dunghill and leave him there. He doesn't convict you of your sins and walk away and let you stay there for the rest of your days. Oh, he's full of mercy. He's full of grace. He's full of compassion. And he loves his dear children. And though they often despise him, though they've spent much of their life rejecting him and stopping their ears and following Satan, yet he's loved them. Oh, we read in Deuteronomy, yea, he loved the people. Oh, and he does, and he did. What a mercy, this faithful and unchanging God. The Lord God omnipotent, reigning in heaven above, even this evening, is unchanging love to his people. And he's faithful. His name is faithful. He's faithful to his word. He's faithful to those he calls. He hath begun a good work in you, will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. If he's begun a work in you, it won't feel like a good work, but if he's begun that good work and it's the conviction of sin, he will perform it. He will bring you to his feet. You'll be crying out. You must cry out. You will cry out. Give me Christ, or else I die. Think of the Lord Jesus when he went into Simon's house. And there he is in the Pharisee's house. And the woman's standing behind the Lord Jesus. And she's bathing his feet with tears. And Simon the Pharisee, he's sitting there. And he's smirking in himself, isn't he? If he was a prophet, he would know what a sinner she is. There he is, self-righteous, looking at that woman bathing the feet of the Lord Jesus and wiping them with her hair. And there he is, sitting there in all his pride and self-righteousness and murmuring in his self, not out loud. The Lord knew what he was saying. The Lord knew what he was saying. And he doesn't he give that lovely illustration of the two debtors, the one who owed 50 and the one who owed 500 pence. Oh, but the point is, it was and when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. What a mercy, beloved friends, that he brings each one of his people there. You've got to be brought with nothing to bring. When they had nothing to pay. So that means that they were trying to pay it. They saw the debt they owed and they tried to pay it. You know, it's hard to accept charity. It's hard to accept things for free. Someone gives you a present, you want to give them one back. How many of us can truly take something for nothing? How many of us could truly accept something for nothing? To never give anything back. In fact, to give back all you can give back is sin. To the Lord Jesus. You can't give him anything other than a sinful heart. You cannot promise to make yourself better. How hard is it for us to accept something freely? To accept a free gift. But beloved friends, it's not in our nature. It doesn't sit right with us. We always want to pay them back at some time, whether it's years later. But oh, it's hard, isn't it? It's hard to be brought dependent. We like to be independent, really. Oh, we don't want to take charity. We don't want to take free things. But you know, friends, you've got to be brought
with nothing in my hand I bring. Simply to thy cross I cling. Naked come to thee for dress, helpless look for thee for grace. Foul I to the fountain fly, wash me, Saviour, or I die. Oh, you must be at his feet emptied, and until you're emptied, he won't begin to fill you. Oh, that this emptying may begin and continue and finish with an emptied sinner, emptied at the feet of the cross, looking up unto him. You know, that submission before him, to come with nothing. Oh, that poor sinner, he's trembling. He sees the Father's law. He sees the law of Moses. He sees Almighty God. How can I come? How can I come unto him? I am so vile. I'm so polluted. Never has a sinner come like me. Never has a sinner come so defiled as me. Never has a sinner come with such a mountain, with such a heart that's so failing. Never has a sinner come unto thee who can bring no good, such a poor, poor profession that I can't promise to bring anything good in the future. Never has a sinner come. And so, oh, they try and stay away. They try and stay away. But you know, the Lord, he's begun. He's calling. His word is calling. The law of Moses is calling. And the sinner can't fulfill it. And it's calling out. It's calling vengeance. It's calling the wrath of God. It's calling a debt to be paid. A mountain of sin to be paid and punished for. And it's calling things that he cannot pay. And as he sees his insufficiency to fulfill any of it, as he sees he's got nothing to pay off one sin, let alone a mountain, oh, the Lord, under the conviction, the Lord leads him. The Holy Spirit leads him to see his every need met in a precious Christ. His every need met there. My grace is sufficient for thee. For he said, my grace is sufficient for thee. My strength is made perfect in weakness. What a blessed suitability there is in Christ, isn't there? Oh, do you see an attraction in him this evening? Do you not see him meeting your every need? Either tomorrow, you've got the unknown way next week, providential things, health things, family things. He knows it all. He knows it all. You've got your hard heart. He knows it. You've got your poor returns. He knows it. You've got sins like a mountain rising daily. He knows it. But faithful is he. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. He'll finish it. He'll complete it. Really, this is coming at the end of this epistle here. And Paul is writing and he's saying, abstain from all appearance of evil, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. And you say, how will I be found blameless? Read the first epistle. Read the first chapter in the book of the Colossians, the epistle to the Colossians. We will be found at that great day. If we are one of these called and chosen, we will be found at that great day, holy and unblameable and unreprovable, not in your sight, not in the sight of fellow man, in his pure eyes. You will be found holy and unblameable and unreprovable. Why? Because he will do it. He will do it. There was two chapels in one town. And the minister was asked, what's the difference between your chapel and the one up the road? He said, two letters. We preach done. They preach do. And that's it, friends. It's done. It's finished. The work is finished.
that the work is complete. Salvation's plan is complete. We're walking out the outworkings of the Holy Spirit, but it's a finished work. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. He knows every one of them. He knows everyone in this chapel that are his tonight. And they may not. He knows. He will call. He will do it. He has chosen you. Maybe he's chosen you in the furnace of affliction. But it's his work. He puts you in the affliction. He calls you through it. Oh, do you hear his voice in your pathway? Have you heard his voice in your affliction? Has he said to you, I have chosen thee from the furnace, out of the furnace of affliction? Oh, beloved friends, what a mercy to hear his voice, to hear it speaking to us. But the God of all grace, who hath called you unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. Oh, may that be our portion, that the Lord finishes the work in our souls. We're not there, are we? We're not at that day yet. Oh, but to have that faith, that hope, that the Lord be with us, even through the waters of death. Fear not, I am with thee. Fear not, I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name. Thou art mine. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. Oh, beloved friends, what a mercy. He's faithful that calleth. He's faithful. And he said unto me, write, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said unto me, these are the true sayings of God. Oh, to be called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. There's nothing in our lives that matters more than that, is there? To be found right at last. You had a funeral here on Friday. A dear sister and daughter of our friends at Fenstanton. But oh, do we hear the Lord's voice in these things? Be ye also ready. Be ye also ready. You know not what an hour nor a day may bring forth. Oh, but the vital, you know, these things are vital. Isn't there a finality in eternity? Isn't there a finality in death? It isn't there. You know, it's forever and ever. Oh, the solemnity of it. Do you hear the Lord speaking? It's a mercy to hear him. It's a mercy while on praying ground to hear him speaking, the voice sounding, be ye also ready. Prepare me, gracious God, to stand before thy face. Thy spirit must the work perform, for it is all of grace. It's not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God. It is the work of the Holy Spirit. But may we be found amongst those calling unto him. Calling unto him. Praying that the Lord will work in our hearts to open our ears. You may say, I don't feel any of this evening. I feel nothing of this. Oh, may the Lord work in your heart. Create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a right spirit within me. Maybe you're longing away. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. Oh, you want your evidences made clear. Lord, prepare me. May I know that I am thine, forever thine. Confirm that I am thy child. Speak to me again. Seek the Lord again. Oh, you want a fresh blessing, don't you? Oh, he will be inquired of. Call upon him. Call upon him. Oh, to whom else can you go? Oh, You can come back with the same old prayer, the same old petitions. He loves to hear his children call upon him, crying unto him for mercy. He's a prayer-hearing and prayer-answering God. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. Amen.
Last Lord's Day amounted to £680, for which we are very thankful. God willing, Mr. Izzard is expected to preach next Tuesday evening and next Lord's Day. And the collections today are for the Fizzy Orphanage for the Free Grace Evangelistic Association. Let us close with hymn 1059. Jesus, the truth, the way, the sure unerring light, on thee my feeble soul I'd stay, which thou canst lead aright. 1059.
Thank you.
Dear Lord, do forgive all that thy pure eyes have seen amiss this day in our worship. Do pardon all our many, many sins. Be with us each in the unknown way. Take us each home in peace and safety. Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, the fellowship and communion of the Holy Spirit, rest and abide with us each, now and forevermore. Amen.